Alrighty. So 2023, it flew by pretty quickly. It's hard to believe we're at 2024 already, and I would imagine in about 5 minutes we're going to be in 2025. I don't know, the way things keep flying by these days. But it is, you know, technology is what drives some of this, right? Our technology in our day-to-day is just exploding. And as a result, whether you want to or not, it forces us to move at a much faster pace. But there's a negative result to that can take place, and that is we can lose sight of some important things that as believers we need to be engaged in that has, you know, kingdom impacts, both now and our present time, but also in the future when we think of eternity. So in our text passage today, that is, Paul is trying to communicate to his readers what motivated him, why he strove and tried to achieve the goal, to finish strong and to win the prize. So with that said, would you stand with me as we read our text passage? Follow along. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. This way we can pick up the context of the passage. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So let me just read again our principal text this morning, which is verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the best thing we can do, as Pastor has often mentioned, is we need to look at some context here of the setting of the passage. And so that's why I read all the way from the beginning of the chapter. Verses 1 through 12, Paul takes time to reflect on his experiences. And he had some pretty high goals and standards. And he was determined to meet these marks and these places in his mind. And so he was really in a league of his own, as some would say. In fact, most Christians would say that Paul was a, quote, super saint, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else. They might even have said, well, you know, Paul, he's arrived. But did you pick up that Paul has a very much different view of himself? He said in verse 12, and he reminds his readers, that he has not arrived. As Paul reflected and examined his life, he had no illusions about what he had or had not attained. So even as a, quote, great Christian, he still knew there were areas in his life that needed improvement. I know that may come as a shock to some of us, but Paul was still human. Therefore, Paul's primary goal of his life was to continue growing into maturity. His greatest desire was to know Christ in a deeper way each and every day. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul tells us that his primary goal and purpose was to know Christ and Him crucified. And of course, we saw that when we read verse 10 in our passage this morning, that he wanted to know Christ in His sufferings and the power of His resurrection. See, Paul knew a secret, and that is suffering for Christ is a pathway that leads to deeper knowledge of Him. So I would say to us that any believer who strives to know Christ in a very deep way, you will experience suffering. That's going to lead to spiritual maturity. God is not punishing you. He's growing you. The Holy Spirit shows the believer those hidden chambers in our hearts that still have some deep-seated sin that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be surrendered to Christ. And so as we are maturing, Christ's light shines in our hearts more intensely, and it exposes that deep sin. And then as we have that realization of our hidden sin, first of all, we know we haven't arrived yet. But second of all, it drives us to repentance. And if we think that we don't have a situation like that in our lives, then that's going to lead to stagnation. And, you know, that's what happens when we, you know, believe we've made it. You know, we really don't understand the total depravity of our hearts. Praise the Lord, He saved us, but He's still working to get that junk out of our lives. So we shouldn't fight Him. We should join Him. It will go well for us if we do. So Paul's prayer for his life was to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. We saw that in verse 10. Well, R. Kent Hughes kind of refers to this as Paul's humble dissatisfaction. The apostle was desperate to know more and more of Christ, and he was never satisfied with his current state. So this humble confession that Paul has and this dissatisfaction that developed in Paul, it gave him a resolve that was truly remarkable. In verse 12, he says, "But I press on to make it my own." So Paul uses the Greek equivalent of the English word but, B-U-T. This word is important because it indicates that Paul was not at all paralyzed by his lack of perfection in this life. The Greek word translated as press on is a word called dioko, and it indicates a desire to meet a personal goal. And it's used here in verse 12, but also in verse 14, which we'll look at in a few moments. It means to run quickly, to reach the finish line, to win the prize. So Paul then tells us why he's pressing on and why it's such a driving force in his life. There was an absolute clear reason for why Paul lived the way he did. And we see that at the end of verse 12. He concludes his statement there with, "Because Christ Jesus has made me His own." That was the driving force behind Paul, that Christ would even think to make somebody as bad as Paul was, or as bad as we are, and make us His own. Now, the language that Paul uses here, as one commentator said, is both from drawing from war and drawing from athletics. And R. Kent Hughes points out that Paul's words have kind of this hint of violence in them. And so Hughes kind of rephrased the verse to read something like this, quote, "But I pursue it, if indeed I may seize it, because indeed I have been seized by Christ Jesus." So Hughes is pointing out that the apostle's words here are pointing directly to his conversion on the Damascus Road, because that was where Christ seized Paul for his very own. It's really a remarkable statement that Christ would make us, his believers, his children, his very own. We are his own possession. And as we sang this morning, in Christ alone, no one can snatch us out of his hand, in John 10:28. So we can have this same confidence that Paul had in pursuing Christ and knowing him in this life. So with that context in mind, we're going to begin to look at verses 13 and 14. I really don't have a point per se, but maybe the theme would be best described as forgetting the past and striving for what is ahead. So look with me at verse 13. "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." So the apostle is kind of repeating himself when he gets to this point, but he's repeating himself in a very personal way. See, he knows he has not received or attained sinless perfection in this life. We know that from verse 12, which we just looked at. But also, if you remember Romans 7, picking up in verses 15 to 25, where Paul has that argument back and forth of, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do, and who's going to deliver me from this power of death? And of course, he begins chapter 8 with, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we know that he had this battle with sin as well. You might say Paul was literally saying, I myself do not consider that I have seized it. No way have I arrived. Then Paul clearly states that he does one thing. And it's kind of a lengthy sentence, but he's using the imagery of a foot race, kind of in the present tense. And then he uses words that speak to the past, and then words that speak to the future, and then he comes back to the present in that order. So we're going to take time quickly to just walk through what Paul is saying here. So the first thing we see is he is forgetting what lies behind. And the Greek word that Paul uses for forgetting means literally to obliterate from the mind, if that were even possible. We have to remember that what we've done in our lives is just that. It's done. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, we've done it. It's in the past. And Paul is challenging us to forget what has happened in the past, to get those things out of our mind, the actual events of our past, whether they were good or bad. While at the same time, though, he's saying we need to remember a specific event from the past that has very much significance and power and results for our lives here and now, as well as for all eternity. And that event is the cross. Christ died on the cross for our sin. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. And if you remember when Andrew was preaching in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and he got to verse 8, where we were instructed to remember Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection has monumental significance for us today, and for our past, and for our future. And it's this specific historical event that gives us the ability to even begin to forget those things in the past. Forgetting the past is critical because there's no changing it. We may have blessings from past victories that we are basking in, but we can't live in those past victories, those past successes. We must keep our eyes open. We must keep our vision up and high. And our motion needs to be moving forward. We need to be striving in Christ's strength to press on, to finish strong. But not only do we need to forget our past victories, but here's the hard one, forget our failures, our past failures. Boy, do they dog us or what? We need to forget them. I know what I'm saying is a whole lot easier to say than it is for us to do. But it doesn't make it true or untrue nonetheless. But we have a future hope with Christ. And so we can place all of our yesterdays under the blood of Christ, regardless of whether they were good or bad. And praise the Lord for that. Because only a great God that we serve could even do something like that for us. Then the second thing we see in verse 13 is he's straining forward to what lies ahead. And this word translated straining means to stretch oneself forward. Paul says he strains forward, he's striving forward to reach the goal, the prize, which is Christ himself, our blessed hope. So Paul is using the image of a race here. He's given us a word picture to help us understand what he's saying. It pictures runners who are running a long distance race, a marathon, with the finish line in sight. So what do runners do as they approach that ribbon? They stretch forward. They want to cross that finish line. They want to finish strong. They want to win the race. But we're still in that race, this side of glory. We're still in the middle of it. The entrance into heaven is in the future yet. The finish line is still ahead of us. But that's our future hope. Which leads us to what Paul says next. In verse 14, he says he's going to press on. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul has addressed the past. He's addressed our future. And now he's going to speak to us in the present. In verse 14, Paul uses this same phrase he used in verse 12. Press on. And he's stressing this point because he knows it's difficult. He knows many will struggle to stay disciplined so they can finish the Christian life strong. And that Greek word dioko that we defined earlier is in the present tense. So it's describing for us a continual, strenuous pursuit. Paul was not going to be denied. And Paul doesn't want us to be denied either. Paul is really kind of being quite transparent and vulnerable here. He's explaining that the main objective of his life is to finish strong, to win the prize. And he's striving daily through the pain and the exhaustion of the race to finish the prize and gain Christ. And he describes it here as God's upward or high calling on his life. In Christ Jesus. Look at verse 14 again, the second half, where he says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This word ano in the Greek translated as upward is a word that means above or on top. And the calling that Paul is speaking of here is not just limited to his apostolic calling of Christ on his life, but also to the call of salvation that all believers have responded to. You can write these references down for later, but consider Ephesians 4:1, 2 Timothy 1:9, and Hebrews 3:1. So if you're a believer here this morning, you have responded, as verse 14 states, to the call of God in Christ Jesus. It is God who does the calling. It is God who does the saving through Christ, who paid for our redemption with his own life. Because of this, Paul has set his focus on the eternal hope for which Christ has called him. And he's encouraging those who read this letter back then and today to do the same thing. You see, there's really no time for us to relax. As one commentator put it, Quote, "The world is too perilous, the gospel too glorious for us to be content with past achievements or frustrated with past failures." Unquote. So what he's saying is we must continue to press on and move forward. So as I conclude this morning, I want to use an illustration that I hope is going to communicate what I'm attempting to say this morning. So many years ago, I worked for UPS. I wasn't a driver. I was working in various accounting roles for them as well. But I learned a really valuable lesson from how they trained their drivers. In the late 80s, UPS began this campaign called Aim High in Steering. And the image that they used was that of a target, like an archer's target. The idea was to get the driver's heads up. It would provide them a greater view down the road while they're driving. And by doing so, they would allow them to see not just what's right in front of them, but what is down the road. It would give the drivers an opportunity to prepare. And so if they applied this tactic well, they would see what's coming. It would reduce delivery delays, which is what UPS was worried about in those days. And they would provide options to avoid serious traffic issues. Well, I think you know where I'm going with this illustration. We need to aim high in our spiritual vision. That's one reason why we sang, "Be Thou My Vision," this morning. Paul said it another way in Colossians 3:2. He said, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." So if our eyes and our thoughts are only focused on the here and now, we will struggle to reach spiritual maturity. And we'll miss out on God's greatest blessings. If we have tunnel vision, we'll miss those hazards that are ahead of us that we need to avoid. So we have to get our heads up. We have to get our eyes up. We have to look further down the road. We need to have our thoughts and our minds on heavenly things, on Christ specifically. And the reason for that is because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's our head. He is our hope. He is our life, not only now, but in the life to come in eternity. Amen? Amen. Well, at this point,